Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
But when I begin to pay close attention to some of the wordings, to some of the text, you discover there are many things for us to extract by ourselves. You know, we have people that all they rely on is, let me just hear that man speak. That's what they will live their life on. We don't really have that attitude of, let me go to the Bible myself and get a truth, and get the truth of the word for myself. Now, how do you observe a text, like I stated earlier? These people who wrote the scriptures, they have their brains working. They have their abilities, they have their personalities, they have different social backgrounds. And all of these were instruments God actually used in bringing the words to us. The approach used, like I said, is historical grammatical approach. And what does that imply? Studying the history of whoever is writing the passage, or the story that actually surrounds the text. You can't just speak a text and say, okay, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe it's just for me to believe, and just sit down. Simple. Okay, Jesus, I believe that you are the son of God, though. And I continue doing things that does not even portray this Jesus I claim to believe. You will now come to understand why James and Paul had issues when it comes to the issue of faith and work. Somebody said, with faith you are fine. Another person said, show me this your faith without work, and I will tell you that your faith is dead. And you look at these people, it's as if they are actually fighting. They are not really fighting. But each writer has their context. Each writer has their personality. Each writer has why he or she, they have their purpose of writing. So when you have to consider a text, you need to be careful about it. And that is why we should take time to we should spend time with God in our quiet places. Because you can't be in the midst of your up and down activities during the day and you expect that you just read and you glance through and you get the understanding. It's not possible. You need to be careful about it. Okay, is this a command? If it is a command, why is it coming? To whom is it coming? Okay, if it is not a command, this is a statement of fact. Something that cannot be changed. So if it cannot be changed, how does it apply to me? That's number one. Then number two, context is key. We need to consider the context. Treating a textual passage out of context is a great crime. Why? Because for everything you see in the scripture, they have history behind them. For every passage of the scripture. In fact, you may read something in chapter 1 of Galatians, and you discover that what is written in chapter 2 of Galatians is actually addressing a different issue entirely. So you can't necessarily import the idea in Galatians chapter 1 into Galatians chapter 2. Of course, you have a pre-knowledge, you have a foundation, you have something to step on. But the thing that you need to consider, okay, why is this person saying this thing at this time? Why is this person handling this issue at this time? For instance, now there is this controversial scripture in the book of in Corinthians where Paul says women should be silent in church. So people just tell you straight up, don't even talk, because women are not allowed to talk in church. But some did not even go to consider the context. There was actually a issue that needs attention at that time, and Paul needed to write to address it. Does that not mean all of those things does not apply to us? No. But they are guidelines for us. And that is what canonicity is all about. Before they can say a book is canonized, it must be that it has the ability to lay down rules and regulations that are infallible. So these things are just guidelines for us to work with. Not necessarily that, oh, because then it is their culture, it is their this thing, it is not applicable to us. No, consider their culture, consider the context, and consider your present culture too. Blend the two together. And point number three, scripture interprets scripture. scripture interprets scripture. That's actually a rule for theologians. The best way you can test if what you have gotten from a passage is true or not, is when you are able to verify from another passage of the scripture. Scripture, we always interpret scripture. It will interpret itself. At this point, let me just say that since the revelation of God is progressive, I hope we all agree, it is not stagnant, it is progressive. Because the way God related with people in the Old Testament was not the way he related with people in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when God created Adam and Eve and all of those, there was a relationship he wanted with man. At the time, the relationship was breached. So God needed to breach the gap again, and he sent Jesus. Now, when Jesus came, as he was nailed on the cross, the veil of the temple was slitted. And so we now have free access to God. And that is telling us that the revelation of God is progressive. Now, if the revelation of God is progressive, you don't necessarily have to belabor yourself that since whatever God says in the Old Testament, and I come to the New Testament, I see something that seems to contradict what is in the Old Testament, then the Bible is erroneous. No. When you carefully pay attention, you will discover that what is written in the New Testament is actually building more on what is written in the Old Testament. And I hope you know that God relates with us based on our level of understanding. Paul even said it, that some people, what they are capable of taking is just milk. And some people have gone to a level where they can take meat. They can even eat bones. So you don't expect somebody who is capable of eating bones to read the Bible, have an interpretation, and somebody who is taking milk, read the Bible, have an interpretation, and their interpretation will be the same. It can never be. The one who is taking milk will read and understand at his or our own level. And the person who has grown to an height will also read and interpret at his own level. Take a look at the apostles. Paul was never with Jesus. But from the scriptures, we discover that many of those things Paul wrote, some of those apostles do not even have an idea of it. And that is because the relationship between the way God deals with us differs. He relates with us based on how we understand. In fact, he said he gives grace as we can actually consume. He doesn't give you more than what you can take. So when you are interpreting a particular text, make sure there is another text that is actually justifying whether the interpretation you have gotten is right or not. That's number three. And number four, we need to consider church historical view. Church historical view. Before the church gets to where it is today, it has actually undergo stages. After the ascension of Christ, the apostles, we can say they were the early, after the apostles, when they began to preach, we refer to them as the early church. After the early church, it moved from Jerusalem, spread across, until it even got to us. And even before this day, there was an era where it was only the Catholic. So whatever the Pope says, whatever the priest says, people will do. Until Reformation came in and everybody got liberated. And we now have access to our Bible. In fact, if it was in that era, you can't even have a Bible you will call your own. Because you just have to go, listen to whatever the priest says, and go back to your house. So whether the interpretation the priest is even giving is correct or not, you just abide by it. But thank God Reformation came, and we now all have access to what we call the scriptures today. But at the same time, we need to consider how those people in those times, how they have interpreted that passage. Okay, for instance, the doctrine of once saved, forever saved, and all of those. You come across a scripture, a passage, I think in Hebrews, where it says, you who think you are standing, take heed, lest you fall. And you get to Ephesians, where Paul was saying, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if you want to interpret, okay, if something is sealed, that means nothing can tamper with it. And now, another passage is saying, take it lest you fall. Take it lest you are tampered with. How do you bridge them together? And that is where some people actually come up with that doctrine of, I won't say forever, say and all of this. But it's not actually like that. One thing I need us to understand is, for every movement, there is always something to back it up in the scripture. That is a fact. Whether it is correct or it is not correct. I can come here now, I can stand here and say there is no God. is actually the Bible, that there is no God. But that would be me doing injustice to that text, because I am not quoting the text in its entirety. I think it was in Psalms that the psalmist said, it is only a fool that will say in his heart that there is no God. But I can decide to remove the first part and just say there is no God. And I will give you passage in the Bible that there is no God. But that is actually wrong, because I am not doing justice to that text. And number five, I think, if I am correct. I hope you are following. Or am I being too forward? Okay, number five. Clarity of scripture. The truth is, sincerely, the scriptures can be understood by anybody. And that is God's intention for us, that we all understand the scriptures. But then, we will not be able to understand when we do not even pay attention to it. What do I mean by clarity of scripture? Many times when we read, we try to assume. I don't know if you are getting it. Like, we try to assume, okay, this is what this passage is saying. We just try to assume. We give a kind of assumption that may not necessarily be true. It's not as if all assumptions are wrong, but sometimes many assumptions are wrong. And when our assumption about the scripture is wrong, then our life will be wrong. I don't know if you are getting it. Now, okay, for instance, praise God, praise the Lord. Like I stated earlier, we understand according to measure, according to our level. Now, probably you have read a scripture and you have come across the place where the Bible says, which example do I use now? Okay, you have read a scripture and you have an understanding about a particular thing. And you hold on to that stand. Now, somebody else has even read that place and it's not even meaning the same thing it meant to you, to that person. And you feel like, this person is not godly. This person is not spiritual. It's wrong. The scripture needs to be clarified, not assumed. As in, I don't know if you get it now. You don't assume. Okay. Let's take points. Okay. Let's give me 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy 3:16. Thank you. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay. Somebody can just read this passage now and just assume that what this place is saying is, God has to calm down and make people to sleep and gave them the word. And when they woke up, they just found the word. Okay. They want us to publish it and they publish it and we all have it. And somebody can interpret it to me like, okay, it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, for correction. So when anybody offends me like this, I'll just go and carry my Bible and say, God say if you abuse, you will die. God say if you did this, if you did that. I don't know if you get the explanation now. We need to clarify. What is this passage actually saying? Not that I just take it like that and just say, I think this is what it's saying. And when we are thinking or we are assuming, we should try to judge it by the scripture itself. If you proceed to verse 17 now of this text, you will see the reason why this text is actually written. It says that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly punished. So it's not that when somebody offends me, I will go and open Proverbs, I will go and open Psalms. No. That is, you understand now. Praise the Lord. And number six. Is it number six? Okay, clarification of text. Just like any work of art that we can find around, the Bible also contains a lot of genre. I mean literary style, literary structure. Probably I should just say it like this. Even in the Bible, we have more than 20 figurative expressions. In fact, the ones that cannot be found in English. In English grammar, you find it in the Bible. And that is to tell us, and in English, for instance, when you see simile, it's simile, she's as black as charcoal. It's not as if that person is charcoal. It's just a kind of comparison, like this person, you know, the complexion of this person looks like that of charcoal, not that that person is charcoal. So maybe you are reading this situation and say, ah, she's as black as charcoal. You say, oh God, and you say you created everything, you created wonderfully and beautifully. Now you create somebody that is like, that is charcoal. No. And that is why we need to understand each text. There are classifications. We have historical books in the Bible. And of course, when you are dealing with history, history will give you details, as in, it will give you stories, it's just stories. And when you are reading those things, you don't necessarily need to bring any symbolic expression into it, because it is stories, there are things that actually happened. There is nothing anybody can do about it. I don't know if you are following. We have the poetic and wisdom literatures. People who are poets, people who write poems, you know that when you are writing poems, you use more of symbols. You make a symbolic expression, figurative expressions. This like such that even somebody who is not highly intellectual may not understand sometimes. If you read some of Shakespeare, if I read some of their writings, you begin to wonder, I don't even understand this thing. Like, it's just going to be confusing. But let somebody who went to study literature in school come and handle those books. You open your mind and say, eh? So this is what this thing is saying. And that is it. Because to each of these classifications, to each of these literary styles, there is a method of interpreting them. You can't interpret a symbol. Okay, like the books of Daniel and Revelation. You can't take everything in that place literally like that. You can't say, we have got, say, four beasts from the east. You can't say, oh, four beasts, so beasts, we come and... It's not necessarily talking about animals. It's just being symbolic. It's a symbolic expression. God is just trying to portray those things with things that are around us so we can understand. Are we following? Raji. Okay, we also have... Aside the poetic literature, we also have the prophetic books. In fact, when you are dealing with prophecies too, there are a lot of things you need to put into consideration. Because there are places where you see, thus hear the Lord. And there are places where you see, I am the Lord. In the school, I'm sorry I want to deviate a little bit. Okay. This particular topic we are treating is a course that you take for a whole semester, so we may not be able to encapsulate everything, but I will try. Now, there is also a course that is called, we have major prophets, we have minor prophets. Now, when you are dealing with prophets, there are things we put into consideration. There are words of affirmation. There are words that are spoken by God himself. There are words that it just came through the mouthpiece of God. And for each of these words, they have names they call them. So you can't see God fears the Lord now and say, ah, God fears the Lord. I will bring a nation from the east. I say, ah, God, this is the word of the Lord for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Or you say, ah, God fears the Lord. I'm going to raise you up as a nation. I'm going to raise you up as a pastor. I say, ah, God, this is the word of the Lord. Of course, we can claim those things. But before we claim them, what prompted them? Who said it? To whom was it said? Why was it said? I don't even understand. And the last classification of text we have are the epistles. The epistles. These ones written by the apostles, written to churches. We have epistles are classified into two. We have general epistles and we have Pauline epistles. Pauline epistles are the ones written by Paul to churches, like the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and the rest of them. And general epistles are the ones written, for instance, Peter wrote two. We have 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, we have 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, we have Jude. You know, all of those are in the category of general epistles. Because we can't continue to say Peter epistle, John epistle. We may necessarily not have space in our Bible to fill all of those things. Do you understand? So why did I say all of this? So we know that the way you interpret an epistle. For instance, if I write a letter to Pastor Dele now, we had an agreement before. Probably we have an issue we have been discussing. Now I just write a letter. Please do not forget our agreement. And I send to him. The moment he sees, he will understand perfectly. But somebody who has never been in the picture of what we have been discussing, sees the letter and wondering, please do not forget what I said. And then he says, just that you not forget what you have said. But please now. Even if you want to pick that thing, make sure you read all of the whole letter so you can understand. Okay, you're actually talking about this thing. But we just pick the text. You are doing injustice to these scriptures. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. And lastly, which is the most important? If everything we have been saying since morning will not just be an appraiser of intellectuality, then this point is the most crucial. We need the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. We need the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Let me be sincere and be frank with us. There is nothing that is called theology. What is called theology is you read your Bible and interpret it. Merely reading your Bible and interpreting it, you have done theology. Because the simple definition of theology is just a study about God. It is when we now want to take it to all those classroom experience that we begin to give you some big, big definitions. But simply put, theology is just a combination of two Greek words, theos and logos. Theos means God. Logos means study, discourse, word, and all of those things. So theology is just a study. So the moment you open your Bible and you read something, you have done theology. And all of our theology will just be fruitless when we don't allow the Holy Spirit. In fact, in school of theology, you can get there and the whole semester you know open your Bible. Because they are not really dealing with the text in the Bible. It's not as if they won't teach you the Bible. There are basic things you need to know that will help you interpret the scripture fine. But when we say we do all of those things and we do not allow the Holy Spirit in us, there is fire on the mountain. We only carry knowledge in our head. And the Spirit is not there. And Paul said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So even when you have observed all of these guidelines, and you do not allow the Holy Spirit to help you to interpret accurately, to get what the Holy Spirit actually wants you to pick in a particular text, you are wrong. And I should also say this. Some of us, we have pride in our hearts, such that when I read a passage of the scripture like this, and I understand, there is nothing anybody wants to say again. That my own interpretation is the correct one. I'm not even ready to. When the person is even talking, I'll just sit down and cross leg. When you are done, you will leave that place. And that doesn't allow us to actually get things we want to get. There is a principle. We have many principles. Don't mind me, because I have more than two principles now. But there is a principle that listen to everything everybody has to say. As a listen. Then you go back and see. Is this one true? Is this one wrong? Is it really true that God said this thing? And that was why I look at to commend the Berean Christians. Because for everything Paul will teach them, they will go back and check. Hey, did they say this thing actually? Is it true? Is it correct? And that is what we should be. And that is the essence of our theology. So whatever we want to believe and we don't want to solve, we don't want it to be subjected to people's criticism, I'm afraid it may not be correct. And that is why we have many heresies out there. Because we have many people who find it difficult to submit their opinions to people to verify for them. And may you know that the word of God is absolute, but at the same time, it is objective. Because we have two types of revelation. We have general revelation. We have special revelation. General revelation is everything we see inside this book. Everything we see around us. Those things are actually revealing God, speaking to us about God. But special revelation can also be called personal revelation. And this has to do with what God has said to me. As a result, what God has said to me, I should not force it on another person. Of course, I can share. I can share my belief. I can share my opinion. But let people make choices by themselves. Don't lodge your interpretation on another person. It's wrong. And that's not even God's intention for us. Praise the Lord. And as we prepare to close, we need to know that interpretation is different from application. So when you interpret the scripture, if truly we really want to work with God, then we need to treat the two as two different entities. Though they are related, but they are different. Interpretation is you. As is answering the question, what does this text actually say? Okay, what does this text mean? The meaning, that's just interpretation. Now, application is, okay, this is the meaning of this text too. How does this apply to me? How can I apply this to my own life? So when you interpret and you are not applying, then it's just an academic discipline. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? When you interpret without applying, you have just done academics, pure academics. And that is what the Holy Ghost will even help us to do. That when you read, you get the interpretation, and we apply it to our lives. We apply it to our daily lives. And conclusively, correctly understanding the truth of God's word is never a matter of personal opinion or private interpretation, like we read in 2 Peter. We have been given the word of God, which is a sure and reliable thing. God has the power not only to deliver his word to us, but to also ensure we gain the proper understanding of it. In verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says that the correct interpretation of scripture is never found in one's opinion. In other words, we do not arrive at the truth of God's word through assumptions, opinions, or feelings. We must study scripture with an expectation that the truth is objective and absolute. It does not bend to the will of man for no reason. The word of God will never bend to your rule, except you are the one trying to bend it to your rule. You don't understand? Like, the word of God will never encourage you to do evil. But you want to do evil now, and you are looking for a scripture that you can use to have to back up your, like the example of the one saved forever saved people. The word of God is absolute. And to you, to individuals, it is objective. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Our memory verse is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Please, let's read. That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private. The Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Okay, come and complete the... Oh, it's a question, alright. What was the question? You will stand by me. That's it. You created the problem. You answered the problem.
She spoke about clarity of scriptures.
Yes.
That everybody is given permission or has the right to understand the scripture. And then we should avoid...
He's using this with the mic that is not talking. Without
argument. Like, okay, I got an understanding about the scripture, and I heard somebody, or maybe an attitude of persons that is not in tandem with what I've understood, or what the scripture is really saying. So how do we
not go to war over biblical interpretation?
Praise God. During the convention, Pastor Finger Shafet said something. He said you are free to go deep in God. You are free to go deeper, deeper, deeper and deeper. Well, in your deepness, do not look for what is not lost. When we read the scripture, many times we have issues in our hearts, we have burdens in our hearts, and we are actually looking for how to find comfort, how to find solace in the word of God. And just the spirit and say, oh God, this is for me. I'm not saying it is not for you. But then when we are reading, don't let us unnecessarily bring any meaning into it. Like when, for instance, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You just read that passage. And you begin to assume things that are not in the text. And for instance, now, like this passage, You just read this passage and be like, okay, so even if pastor is preaching in church, his preaching may not be correct. Because this passage now is saying, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So any interpretation I must get from the scripture, maybe everybody has to sit together and talk about it. All that the scripture is for prophecy alone. I don't know if you get it now. So we don't just put meanings that are not in the text into it. We just... Yes, sir, the scriptures. Verse 21, game master now. Okay, verse 19, please.
Okay, go to verse 19.
You know why I have to go back to verse 19 is because if I want to interpret that text, we have to go to verse 16. Start from verse 16.
That's why you are here. Kowa. Please don't mind my voice today.
Praise the Lord. Okay. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now the reason I had to go to verse 16 was one of the guidelines he had was, you should not treat any text in isolation. You treat a text in its entirety. Now if you follow through from verse 16, Peter was trying to explain to his audience that we were eyewitnesses of all of those things Jesus did. We even confirm the fact that he is the Son of God, because the voice came. And we receive this word of prophecy, which we are now giving to you, and we want you to take heed unto. But then, in taking heed to this prophecy, have this understanding that none of this word of prophecy has any private interpretation. Like, for instance now, it's not as if you can't read and interpret it to yourself. I can read it and get interpretation for myself. But that interpretation I'm getting should not be lord over another person.
Is that what that scripture is saying? Are you sure that it's the right interpretation? But I'll have to call Pastor Ogi to help us there. Pastor Ogi, how can we interpret that place? Is that what, because what Saroda is saying? You are also learning. Pastor.
The Bible says that the scriptures are not given for private interpretation. And this should take us back to the book of 1 John chapter 5. Because there are three people that have records in heaven. The Bible is talking about three people that have records in heaven. And their records are true. Their records are true. It talks about the Father. It talks about the Word. It also talks about the Spirit. Those are the people that have valid records. So in other words, when you are interpreting scriptures, you look at the record of God. God has record. He has testimony. The record we are talking about are the testimonies of God. They are the word of truth that God has spoken over the time. There are certain things that the word himself has also bear. And he does not only bear that those records in heaven. He also come to the earth and bear those records. And that is why the book of the gospel, of course, like I was telling mommy, that there was one aspect of it that you omitted. And that is the aspect of the apocalyptic. It's also part of the those canons. Yes. So in other words, you need to look at the records of God. What is God saying about this? Is it in tandem with the Holy Spirit has said? Is it in tandem with the Son has also witnessed here on earth? So, you now bring those three things together and interpret a scripture. That's why you don't overlook the book of gospel. The book of gospel is very, like I said, you can't understand the book of epistle when you don't have an understanding of the gospel. But people feel that gospel is simple. Gospel is the most difficult scripture to interpret. And you need to take that truth. Very, very, very difficult. Those simple things that Jesus Christ is saying have an expression both in the prophecy, both in the Old Testament, and both in what the epistle has said. So, the record of the Father, the record of the Son, and the record of the Spirit combined together is what you use to interpret the scripture.
Praise the Lord. So I guess you have an idea. You see, in biblical, when Peter was speaking about this, bear two things in mind. Peter said, this faith we are following was not developed by men. It was not something they sat down and they said, how do we scope these people? So they said, we have not followed cunningly devised people. Praise God. Now, in addition to that, he said they heard that voice that came from that excellent glory. It is also important for you to realize that we are living in a time where men are hearing voices. Are you with me? We are hearing voices. Paul warned us that one of the signs of the end times are men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They will hear voices. Not only will they hear voices, there will be supernatural manifestations to authenticate what they've heard. Are you with me? So, even in spite of the fact that they heard God, they still had prophecies of scriptures to back it up. Are you with me? And therefore, nobody can, because it's a contextual interpretation, can sit down and interpret it based on his own will, because those scriptures did not come from the will of men. Therefore, men can interpret it. And that's what Pastor is saying. You must listen to the testimonies of the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Based on what she's also taught us, that you have to also be aware of other aspects of the scriptures. You now know why God gave us 66 books. He didn't just give it to us to fill in the blank spaces. He gave that you can be acquainted with everything. So like she said, people say the revelation of God is progressive. God has been God before eternity, he will remain God forever. It's only that we are beginning to understand it. So in that way we can say it's progressive, but necessarily it has always been true, eternally. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? So you have to go and find out what has this testified of itself. It's like somebody said that God has changed his mind, you don't need the blood of Jesus again. How does that line up with the testimonies that he has given of himself? Do you understand? Because the Bible says a time will come when we will deny the Lord that saved them. Why would people follow that kind of teaching? Because they are unaware that he has declared that there is no other way by which men can be saved. But a man will come and say, you can be saved by another way. And yet men will follow him. I'm wondering, what is their head correct? Their head is not correct because the devil knows what is there. Am I communicating? So in interpreting scriptures, so many things goes into it. Hallelujah. Now she has told us some seven, call it guidelines. Praise God. Seven guidelines. The guidelines, God, you keep on developing, finding out there are so many other guidelines. She has taken from guidelines. I can look at it again from another area. You have topical, Abi. Which other one? Historical? Kilutu Mohammed. Eh? There are poetic. I think what they said to that, eh? Prophetic. Also, even within the prophetic, you must be careful. But therein lie a lot of traps. Because symbols, because most of those prophetic are symbolic. And then we also find out that prophecy has a very funny way of repeating itself over the years, over decades. So, what exactly is it trying to say? Hallelujah. So, God will help us as we go. But please, I guess the major thing is that people come into spiritual leadership. Where did he speak about deacons? Second Timothy what? When Paul was writing about deacons? Eh? You. Bro, is it Gabriel that is there, Mike? Give me where Paul was writing to Timothy and was giving was giving us the one of the qualifications. Eh? 3:8, 2 Timothy 3:8. 3:8. Was saying about the bishop. Look at it. Now he said, likewise must the deacons be great. This requirement for deacons. Not double tongue. Not giving too much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. Verse 9. Holding what? Mystery. In pure conscience. The faith is a mystery. In fact, I will tell you one truth. There are a lot of paradoxes. Is there English like that? The faith is a paradox. It has two truths or three different truths that they appear to contradict each other, but they're in perfect harmony if you understand it. If you don't understand how to handle this mystery, continue. Verse 10. And let this also be false proof. Then let them use the office of a deacon be found blameless. Let them do what? Use. Then the next verse, continue. Oh, is it? Okay, great. We talk about their wives. That the place was now saying that they would now purchase for themselves. Those who have used their office properly. Yeah, for they that have what? Used. The office of a deacon will purchase to themselves what? A good decree. And great boldness in the faith. This is the fundamental. From deaconship you can move into bishop, or bishop you can move into a ministry gift. Hallelujah. But you must have passed through the rudiments. Like she said, the way a small believer interprets scriptures, not the way somebody's handling meat will interpret it. Why? Because of experience. They've handled the word. They understand the pitfalls that you are just beginning to grapple with. They understand the balancing act. Because there are things in scriptures that require very, very fine balancing. That if you don't know how to balance it, you will enter into error. Do you remember what they call a tight rope? You walk tight rope. When somebody has to walk on a tight rope, it's in the air and it's not like when you are walking on the road. When you are walking on the road, you can walk anywhere. But when you are on a tight rope, you must be very what? Careful. There are scriptures like that you must be careful with. So that you don't, if you sway, you will create crisis. So it comes with experience. It comes with, of course, what else again does it come with? The Spirit of God. Eh? Use. Who by reason of use have exercised their minds to discern good from evil. Are you with me? It comes by use. It comes by experience. For example, what is the one that we're talking about as an example? There's like the practice, the one of forever saved and once saved. They found their basis from scriptures. But when by reason of use you can discern that this is not right. This is a wrong spirit. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? But a simple-minded person will say, yes, it's in scriptures, and they will follow and go away. So it comes from use. That's why it's called experience. And like my former principal used to say, a child can have the same amount of clothes like his father, but the rags are not the same. Are you with me? I said the rags are not the same. It's not that I've been 20 years in the Lord. It makes no sense. The problem is, have you been using the word? Have you tested the word? Do we have a testimony that you have walked and you have used it? You have handled the word of God. Hallelujah. So these things are very important for us as we move forward. There's still so much to learn. Okay.
draw attention to attention so that we don't come into a mood that, oh, this thing is said, it's not applicable to me. Now, one of the folly of faith, please mark that word, one of the folly of faith is putting on the shoe of the scripture, or entering, putting your legs into the shoes of the scripture. Scripture has shoes. And it's folly, it's stupid. And of course, Paul was talking about it, but to them that are destroyed, it is stupidity. But to them that are saved, the wisdom of God. Now there are certain things that you can also, for example, if I am in a place, I find myself in the group of friends. Do you understand? Where certain things are not right, but I must sit among them. But I have to put myself in the shoe of Daniel, that I am Daniel in this place. I cannot touch an unclean thing. I cannot be part of, I can't taste certain things that is not in tandem with my faith. But I needed to sit among them. So you really need to, that is faith. There is nothing more than that, than faith. That is an exercise of faith. Because the picture that was coming to my mind was Daniel. Oh, I am Daniel. At this particular point in time, I am Daniel. I can't touch an unclean thing. I can't taste an unclean thing. I can't partake of wine or call it red, call it black, call it blue, call it any form. So, it does not really mean that, oh, that is for Daniel. It is not for me. So we need to really understand that those aspects so that we won't come into that, oh, that thing is only spoken for Daniel, or is only spoken for Samuel. It's only Samuel that can keep, or something that can keep his ear. There are times when we need to do that. We need to come into that place, into that position. God will help us.
Thank you, sir. Well, you just said something that is very, very important here. You see, all those Old Testament characters were all types of Christ. They didn't put them there. Are you with me? They put them there to show that they were a type. Samson was a type of Christ. Samuel was a type of Christ. Saul ought to have been a type of Christ, but he stepped out of it. So David became the one who typified the kingship of Christ. Do you understand? There were roles all of them played that were to typify one aspect of Christ. Then also you find out that they were also a type of each of us. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? And like Pastor said, yes, the principles that we saw manifest in Daniel's life is also applicable to you. Because you will come, okay, now let me give you a testimony of a young man. True life story. He was a junior officer in the civil service. And he was picked to become the PA to the commissioner for finance, who was a Muslim. And when he came to meet our pastor said, you cannot work with Muslim. So he became confused and came to me. And I looked at him and smiled. I said, there is a type of a man who worked with a more wicked human being than the Muslim you want to work with. I said, his name was Daniel. And Daniel worked with Nebuchadnezzar and all those wicked men. And Daniel was not contaminated. I said, you can work with the man. That singular advice gave him leverage that it helped his career to today in the civil service. Hallelujah. Am I talking with you? That's a model. Can I carry you and put you in the midst of those people and you will not contaminate your testimony like Brother Pastor Shino Abi? Adeshino. You know Adeshino, Adeshino was a pastor. He was a pastor. I can't think of anyone again. He was a pastor that upheld righteousness, but got to Aso Rock, and his mouth is playing Ludo. Praise God. You understand me? So you can, it's easy to talk here when I hold the microphone. But it's not good. Let them give you position in Aso Rock. Then I said, the Lord is a very good God. In fact, Buhari is the one the Lord anointed. What has happened to you? Because you did not internalize the lessons from the book of Daniel. Hallelujah. Supposing God gives you a responsibility and an assignment, and you are not able to do it, and you now come to God and say, it was the people you asked me to protect over that made me not to fail. You would have committed the sin of Saul. Do you understand me? Amen. Or will you get into a situation and everybody's afraid, and you step forward like David stepped forward? You'll be entering into that same situation as David entered. All these things are types and shadows that you and I must understand and flow in. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So that's what I'm trying to balance what Sister Rhoda was saying, that you cannot personalize it. There are times when the word, the Spirit of God, can take a scripture and give it to you. Because that word rhema, if I have not forgotten, it's just personal. It didn't just jump out of from the pages and it's yours. I am the Lord your God. And that just becomes real to you. It's yours. It's not yours. Because they didn't reveal it to you. Are you with me? You can't go and start saying, I'm going to confront all the demons in Akure. They will take you out because the word of the Lord has not been revealed. Amen. Do you understand that? I said, do you understand that? So, that's why when we read the scriptures, we prayerfully read it. So that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord can personalize those things to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, there are times when we want to pray. I said, let us stand up. The Lord is my shepherd. David prayed that prayer. Am I making sense to you? But we also can leverage on David and take that prayer he prayed and make it our own. There is no sin about that. Do you follow me? Do you follow me? Amen. Because of course that is consistent with the word of the Lord in Romans chapter 10. Sorry, I beg you. John chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. Praise God. So if he's the good shepherd, I can leverage on Psalm 23. Then he calls it the great bishop. The great shepherd, bishop of our souls. So these are things that can make you say, okay, if then that begins, I can use that prayer that David prayed. Because there are some prayers in those scriptures, there are things in the scriptures that Holy Ghost inspired them to do that they were written for us. So you can also leverage on that. Hallelujah. But when I get that, I cannot make it your own. You have to go and get your own from the Holy Ghost. And say, Holy Ghost, speak to me. And the Holy Ghost may take the book of Revelation and use to speak to you. But please, don't interpret Bible and say, Lord, speak to me. Say, Lord, speak to me. In the name of Jesus, speak to me, speak to me. And Jesus hung himself. Reject that in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, speak to me, speak to me. Go and do likewise. You are in trouble. you are in big trouble. So don't do it like that. Are you with me? Don't do it like that. And let me close by saying this, please. Stop looking for new things. It's a dangerous attitude. That if you don't, anybody does not preach anything that is new. That is just, music boleri. It's called itching ears. Don't have it. The Bible says, a good man brings out from his treasure both old and new. There may be days, today's preaching may just be something you have heard. John chapter 3, Jesus loves you. And he always say, Pastor, Kongberevwa, lead me, oh God, I didn't come to church today, I just wasted my time. No, God wants you to hear that I just love you. You've heard it before, but it's good to keep on hearing. Hallelujah. Sisters, how will you like it? Your husband keeps saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. You say, I know you love me now. But someone says, but I don't say it, hallelujah. You should know that I love you. Do you do that? Are you like me? I know you are like me. The way I'm looking at your eyes. Praise God. Hallelujah. God will love. Ben, to say, Pastor. So sisters, if your husband don't say I love you, they took it from me. But we know we love. That's why we came to marry in the first instance. Praise God. So don't look at me like that. The angel of the God is with me. Praise God. Can we rise on our feet as we just bless the Lord? Father, we thank you for this morning. You just appreciate the Lord. Can we pray for the spirit of truth, the spirit of revelation, that the Lord will reveal truth to us.
The Lord will teach us and help us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.